This morning we're going to start
a journey through the Psalms, the Psalms that are often referred to as the Songs of Ascent, which are the Psalms from 120 to 134. And we're going to look at, this was the plan. The plans might have to change a little bit, but we were going to look at three Psalms a week for the next few weeks, with picking up the Psalms 120 to 134, and then looking at Psalm 135 to 136 as the last one, which aren't strictly the Psalms of Ascent. I wasn't sure how this journey would turn out, and I wasn't going to use the normal pattern of preaching. And I was going to just say, let's follow the Psalms, see where they lead, and trust God that he'll lead us and guide us. But I just want to give just a brief background to these Psalms of Ascent first, and then we're going to muddle through this morning and see how we go. But it's not going to be your standard expository preaching. These Psalms are of Ascent, are generally used on pilgrimage. It's a pilgrimage of praise. Thank you, sweetheart. A pilgrimage of praise as the people of Israel journey together to Jerusalem to the temple to offer up sacrifices. So these psalms are a collection of psalms that are often used in this journey. The people of Israel are spread out throughout the land and they all come together, and it's a part of the law is that they all come together to Jerusalem at different times of the year for pilgrimage to the festivals there. And so what happens is as they gather from different places around the land of Israel, they start singing these psalms. And they join in these psalms as they go up to Jerusalem. And they're psalms that kind of rise in a crescendo up to the final ones. And so we get that as we go. And so those are the pattern of the psalms. And it was my hope that our journey through the psalms would replicate something of Israel's pilgrimage in three ways. I hope that it will provoke praise. I hope as we read these psalms and think of them together, it will start to cause praise to rise in our hearts. That's the first thing. I hope it will foster fellowship. As the people of Israel gather together and go up to Jerusalem, they start chatting together. And it was my hope, and it won't happen this morning, but that we would be able to chat together about these psalms and start to facilitate that fellowship. And foster that as we gather and go through these psalms. But there's weeks to come yet. So, and I also hope that it would stimulate sacrifice. Because that's where the people of Israel were going. They were heading to Jerusalem to sacrifice, to offer their lives and their sacrifices to God. And I hope that this journey, our pilgrimage of praise, would enable us to do that. I have no plans to follow my normal expository style, where I read the passage, explain it, and suggest how we apply it. During this series, I want to try something different. I have to say, when I was preparing this and I suggested that I was going to do something different, I did get some disparaging noises about that, and say, no, don't try something different. So if this is not your cup of tea, I'm sorry, but I hope it will still be the Lord speaking to us. I plan to cover all of the three psalms each week, but maybe I will, maybe I won't. We'll see how things go. But what my plan for this morning was, it's going to be a little different, is that we would have somebody read the psalm. We would stand together and read some words from Martin's Songs of the Psalms. Now, I think one of the things I want to both affirm what Martin has done in that work, but also to say that when I read these psalms that Martin had written, the paraphrase, is that what you'd say of a psalm? That turning the psalms into songs, I think he has captured something of each of the psalms in a wonderful way that gives us, breathes fresh life into them. Now, I did ask Zach, and I've asked each of the worship leaders to sing one of the psalms, or help us to sing one of those psalms, and was going to do that this week, but it didn't quite work out. So we're not going to sing them, but we're going to read them today. And then I was going to ask us to share in groups about what the psalm says to us, and then I was going to draw out a couple of points from the psalms. So what we're going to do, rather than do all of that, we are going to listen to the psalm. We are going to speak out the words of the hymn, and rather than sharing groups, I'm just going to do a brief couple of reflections on each of them, not at length. so it won't be too long. But let's pray, because I sense that God, I need God. And we all need God in getting through this journey of this morning, certainly. Father God, we thank you that in amongst the mess of this world, you step down. You stepped down into this world and became incarnate for us. And Lord, we pray that through the Spirit you would step into our lives this morning. This is a mess and a muddle, perhaps. But Lord, we thank you that you can take the mess and muddle of our everyday world and bring it to your glory. So we ask that this morning would be for your glory and praise. Amen. Let's start by reading Psalm 120. Andy, I think you're up first. Is that right? Well, I'd better put this back so that you can...
In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. Deliver me, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given to you? And what more shall be done to you, you deceitful tongue? A warrior's sharp arrows with glowing coals of the broom tree. Woe to me that I sojourn in Meshech, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I had my dwelling among those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war.
Thank you, Andy. Let's stand and let's read together the hymn that is going to come up on the projector screen behind. You know the pressures I endure. You see the load I bear. In my distress, I call to you, the God who answers prayer. Surrounding me, both near and far, are those who trade in lies, the brash rebuttal of the truth, the subtle compromise. When anger leads to arrogance, they spurn my cause for peace. Although I argue for restraint, the threats of war increase. Yet each unfaithful tongue will quake before your sharpened sword. So give me grace till life is done, to stand for truth, my Lord. Please be seated. This is a great opening to our pilgrimage of praise. It's all too easy to say, I just don't feel like church this morning. I'm tired. Things aren't going well for me. I don't feel like praising God. I'm not in the mood for doing so. Things are tough. Well, it's just at that place that this psalmist starts. In total distress, and he starts this journey of praise. We live in a hostile world that rages against truth with incessant lies and deceit, and yet we're called to live differently. Is it any wonder that we grow weary of the struggle and end up conforming? Yet by turning to God in our distress and struggle, we find the answer. No, not the removal of hostilities, but peace of God in the middle of them. I'm reminded of that hymn, as praise is rising, we will find strength to face the day. It's in the middle of hostilities, it's in the middle of distress, as we praise God, that we find strength. In this psalm, we see particularly the negative impact of the tongue on the psalmist. And it's vital to recognize the power of the tongue, both for evil and good. And we are called to use the tongue for praise, not cursing, as James says, to build up rather than tear down. Though it may not appear this way, truth triumphs in the end. So we're called to take a stand against the devil's lies, to demolish every pretense that detracts people from knowing God and shine for him in a dark world. And I think this psalmist starts in that dismal place and says, I'm going to praise. And in through that, we see his strength rising. Reese, I I think you're up next, is that right? Psalm 121.
I lift my eyes up to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in, from this time forth and forevermore.
Thank you, Rhys. Let's stand and say the words of Martin's second hymn, the hymn that relates to this Psalm 121. However great the treasures life affords, in status or prosperity, their transitory nature stands exposed, they offer scant security. We trust the Lord, whose all-creating word gave rise to wonders still unknown, who holds unnumbered stars within his hands, yet loves to make our hearts his own. Although we may be faced with many trials and dangers often close at hand, no peril we encounter has the power to undermine what God has planned. And so, in spite of all the grievous wounds which mar a world whose pain we share, we sense the details of our daily lives are held with God's watchful care. Please be seated. I guess very little needs to be said about this psalm, as it is one of the most popular psalms in the Psalter. In the middle of our struggles, we lift our eyes to the Lord, and our problems find perspective. Maybe they find purpose also. The Lord, the creator of the world, helps us. He helps us in our frailty where our foot slips. He doesn't take his eye off the ball or drop his guard for a moment. He does not slumber. The introduction of the name Israel takes us back to the covenant promises, the guarantee underwritten by God himself. Like a parent, he is our guardian. Day and night he will guard you from all evil. The Lord will guard all our journeying, whether you are going or coming, today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, in fact, from now to eternity. Through the week I've been listening to a song by Ben Cantillon called Guardian. And it gave me a real sense of what the psalmist is saying. He sings, "You go before me. You're there beside me, and if I wander, love will find me. Goodness and mercy will always follow me. You go before me, my guardian." And there is a real sense in this Psalm 121 of God as our guardian. We start in despair, and then we look to the Lord, and we sense that he's with us, our security, all the way. We come to the third Psalm, and Lynn. I've written on the order on my hand, if you wonder what I'm doing, looking at my hand. I didn't have a piece of paper at the time. Thank you.
I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem built as a city that is bound firmly together, to which tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. Their thrones for judgment were set, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good."
Thank you, Lynn. Let's stand again. And let's say the words of this. How glad I was to meet with my friends and hear the call to go with them. How glad to journey till my feet had reached your gates, Jerusalem. The company assembling here is rich in its diversity, but gathers as the Lord's commands. body knit in unity. Jerusalem, may peace be yours in every home and citadel. May justice make your walls secure, and in your courts may all be well. Jerusalem, in you I find my sisters, brothers, treasured friends. For their sake, may God's wealth be yours, and as such, peace that never ends. Please sit down. There's something in this psalm that is a bit of a challenge. It combines a now and not yet that is so characteristic of the gospel. It seems almost when we read this psalm as if the pilgrims have arrived at Jerusalem. And yet we're only on the third psalm of 15 psalms. So it's almost like they're saying we've arrived and yet they haven't arrived. They're still on that journey to Jerusalem. And there's something of that in our faith. We have arrived, we have received all the blessings of God, and they are ours, but they're not yet. There is the something of the now that we have received, the guarantee of what is to come, but we haven't received the fullness of what there is. There is in this psalm an anticipation, a realization. We're looking forward to the day when we stand with our feet in Jerusalem. And they're looking forward with anticipation. And it is something that should characterize the people of God as we look forward to what is to come. For us also, there is a challenge. For the city of Jerusalem itself is tied up in theological knots. Is it figurative? Is it spiritual? Is it physical? Well, we could talk about that at length. But I want to just look at how the psalm is structured. Perhaps the phrase that brackets this psalm at the beginning and the end, in the first verse and the last, would help us get some direction on it. It says, the house of the Lord, both in verse 1 and verse 9. This is what Jerusalem was all about. It was God's dwelling place. It was God's house. I remember when I was at Bible college, they used to say, number one, Shalom Street, Jerusalem. That was God's place of, that was his address. And if God's place on earth was Jerusalem, that was where God lived. And Jerusalem was central to Israel in the same way God was central to the people Israel. Our pilgrimage of praise is towards God. It leads us to a place where God is central, not just spiritually or figuratively, but practically, where justice, peace and security are real and clearly evident. If the house of God is not a place of justice, peace and security, it is nothing. And we as church should be a place of justice, peace and security on this earth. This is a journey that we can only take as we travel together, because you can't have peace and justice on your own. It requires other people, that we live with other people and have security. And so this process, this journey of praise, is one that takes us and is expressed through our unity together as a church. This should be the substance and focus of our prayer, the desire of our lips and the end to which we work. That's what the psalmist is saying by pray for the peace of Jerusalem. His heart and his cry is about the substance. He's talking about the justice and peace and security. That's what he wants most of all. And that's to what he's working. And that should be for us too as church. These first steps of our ascent have taken us from the place of despair, of living in a world of hostility, to the hope of life of peace. And we've done so as we have lifted up our eyes to the Lord. That's what the psalmist has done. He's taken a place in Psalm 120 of despair. In Psalm 121, he says, I lift my eyes up to the hills. And then he gets to that place where he's standing, his feet in Jerusalem, a place of total peace. We who were once far off have been brought near through God's perfect sacrifice.